Evening. As always, I would like to, just before I speak, thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity. I always enjoy being able to do this, and I hope that what I say and preach isn't just my opinion, but from the Word, and that if anyone finds fault with it, if you can address that with me, I would appreciate that. Tonight, I would just like to talk for a little while about gratitude and the concept of being grateful for what we have. And I think the reason this is something I feel inclined to talk about is because so often as Christians, we talk about the hardships in our life. And as Christians, we do face some difficult trials. We're daily confronted by sin. We live in a world that constantly ridicules us and pushes us to do what we know is wrong. And I think sometimes we can become hyper-focused on the bad things in this world, when the reality is that as Christians, there is so much to be thankful for. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start out with a reading there. Just reading this whole chapter over. Starting in verse 1, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed and so I spoke,' we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." As Christians, each and every one of us has been blessed so abundantly by the Lord our God. And it's easy to forget that sometimes. We just, as humans, want to focus on the bad. Mr. Guerin this morning spoke about people who want to be offended by something. They want to find something that hurts them. And as people, we can fall into that mindset so easy. We want to look for that one thing that's going wrong in our lives, the one excuse we have for why we're not doing what we're supposed to. But the reality is that as Christians, we've been given so much. And not only should we give thanks for them, we are expected to be grateful for all we've been given. The first thing that I think is so incredible to see that God has blessed us with is this life and all of the physical, earthly possessions God has deemed fit to bless us with. In Psalm chapter 23, if you'll turn with me there, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And just a couple pages over in Psalm chapter 31, verses 14 through 20. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hands of my enemies and my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. But oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. God provides for us not just with physical possessions and money, but with health, the ability for us to meet here or join over Zoom. He has given us this building to meet in. He's given each and every one of us families and people around us. And these are all things that we aren't required to have. By no means we are entitled to these things. These are things God has seen fit to bless us with. God provides for us all not just physically, but He also gives us spiritual strength and wisdom if we ask for it. Habakkuk chapter 3. Near the end of this chapter, as the book of Habakkuk is wrapping up, he ends with, in verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and no herd be in the stalls, yet I rejoice in the Lord. I take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He makes me tread on my high places. And in Proverbs, the entire book of Proverbs is just full of the ways we can ask God for wisdom and the ways He will bless us in wisdom and the many things He will give to us. So how then can we show our gratitude for what the Lord has given us? The answer is quite simple, but I think it's one we often gloss over, and that is simply by giving. We show our gratitude for what God has given to us by giving of our lives, of our possessions, to those around us and those in need. So easily, giving becomes the thing we do for 5 minutes on every Sunday. We drop our money in the plate, and that's our giving for the week. And I gave extra this week, so that means I'm doing really well. But giving is not, that is such a small part of our giving. It's laughable that we seem to think that it's a big deal. Because giving, and giving to the Lord especially, should be in every aspect of our lives. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll just read the first 16 verses. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, so as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are all in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. to not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of the animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So not only is God pleased by our giving, but it is something that we are expected to do. A similar sentiment is echoed in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who calls his servants and entrusts to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them, and he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over the little, I will set you over much, enter into the joy of your master. And he who also had the 2 came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, here I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He who also received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But the master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not even what he has will be taken away. And cast the weak, worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We've all heard this parable. But what I think is so important about this parable specifically is it shows the attitude we ought to have, that our possessions are not truly our possessions. And that if we don't use them on this earth to be fruitful, to multiply, to show others our generosity, to spread God's word, then we're just taking what we've been given and hiding it in the ground. Everything we've been given, if we don't use it for good, if we don't use it for the Word of God, then it's completely worthless. And what's even more incredible is at the end, where Jesus says that those who have more will be given. If we are generous, if we do serve the Lord the way we're supposed to, God tells us that He will continue to bless us in these ways. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about our bodies being a living sacrifice, and that's not just flowery language. Our life and our bodies are to be a continually devoted sacrifice to God. So why, what right do we have to act selfishly? Yes, we should be giving every Sunday. That is something we should be doing, and is part of our duty as Christians. But we should also, in our own time, of our own accord, find those who are needy and help them. We should be seeking those who are home-ridden, unable to get out. Help them out. Get their groceries. Visit them. Give of your free time. Give of your money to those who have not. Give of your possessions to those who have not. Because that is our duty as Christians. And God makes a promise to us. And in Proverbs 19, verse 17, it says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his deed." The second way in which the Lord has blessed us, and it is possibly the greatest blessing we have, is the blessing of forgiveness. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is undeserving. Every single one of us has sinned, we are stained, and yet we have all been given a chance at salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read the first 18 verses. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by His hands. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in the place of two, making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing off hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near, for through Him we have both access in one Spirit to the Father." God has blessed us with forgiveness. He has promised us that if we come to Him, if we repent, then He will forgive us. If we are baptized, He will accept us into His family. And if we do good, if we follow the word of the Lord, we have a chance at salvation one day. And that is the ultimate blessing. In Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 38, when we talk about how we show gratitude for the blessing of forgiveness, it's, I think, kind of a hard thing to grasp. How do you turn around after God has given us so much? How do we show gratitude for that? Well, in Luke chapter 6, at the very end of the chapter, in verses 35 through 38, "But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This might possibly be one of the most misused and misunderstood verses of all time. But I think that what Jesus is saying here, specifically in Luke chapter 6, is how we show gratitude for what we have been given from the Lord. We have been forgiven. We have a chance at salvation. And we show our gratefulness for that act, that Jesus dying on the cross for us, by extending that forgiveness to others. When we hold grudges, when we tell people we can't forgive them, when we go throughout our lives being angry and hateful, That is in direct, flies directly in the face of the blessing that we have all been given. We show our gratitude by giving the free gift of salvation to us and showing that forgiveness to other people. Because if we're not forgiving other people, they're not going to come to God. We're not going to bring them into His family. Jesus echoes a similar sentiment in Matthew chapter 18. And it is a free gift for all. And so our forgiveness, that is a free gift we should give to everyone else. The final point I'd like to talk about tonight, which is admittedly, I think, switch gears to the main point of the sermon, I think. But I'd specifically like to talk about the blessing of spiritual family that we have been given. And it is the blessing that I am constantly reminded of, just as being part of this congregation. When we turn back to Ephesians chapter 2, and starting where we left off in verse 18, "For through Him we have both access to the Spirit and the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." We are, as a spiritual family, a holy temple in the Lord, and what greater gift is there than that? I don't always love to use personal anecdotes, but something Abigail and I often talk about is how exceedingly blessed we have been by the family here at South Loop. It is one of those blessings I am constantly thankful and grateful for. When I first moved down here, I had nothing but a summer job. And were it not for the family that I met here and became a part of, I highly doubt I would have come back. I doubt Abigail would have moved down here later. And it is such an incredible blessing that Christ has given to all of us, that we can be here together in this place, in this time. We can have unity, we can show each other love, and that we can build each other up.
Amen.
And that is how we show our gratitude for what God has given us. We show our gratitude for our spiritual family by encouraging one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 21, just through verse 25, "And since we now have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I started off this lesson talking about how we can focus on the doom and gloom of our lives. But what better way is there to combat that doom and gloom than by continually focusing on supporting each other in our faith? We can encourage each other in so many different ways. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. "Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Coming to the building every Sunday and Wednesday night and worshiping together personally is one of the most encouraging things in my life, and it is a way in which we encourage one another. When we truly devote ourselves to worship,
when we listen and participate in class, when we sing these hymns together, that is how we encourage one another. Because God's not sitting in heaven mad that he's not getting worshipped or sorry that he's not getting worshipped. Our worship is for God and to God, but it is a gift that God gave to us. Our worship, our ability to worship him, is a gift from him. And we can use that to encourage and strengthen one another. As I just mentioned, and is also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 10, meeting together. Meeting together is so important. I'm glad we're able to do that more and more physically now and in person. But not just in the building. Meeting together just as part of our daily lives. Not even, I would go for so far as to say that not even necessarily in a spiritual context of meeting as the church. Just meeting together. Spending our time with one another. With like-minded people, pursuing good interests. That is how we can encourage one another. It's how we can build each other up. And it's how we can live together in unity to serve the Lord and to serve others. The other way in which we can show our gratitude is to perform our duties as Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong in the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense? Or if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Each and every one of us, as Christians and as a part of this congregation, this body of believers, have a purpose and a duty we can fulfill in the church. And we should. And not only should we need to as Christians. Some of us are not meant to lead singing, to do the Zoom, to preach every Sunday. That is not something we all have the ability to or the skills to. But we all still have a purpose within this body of believers. I love how the Bible constantly uses the analogy of a body, and it references the church and the Christians as a body. Because in a human body, if one little thing is wrong, it throws everything else out of sync. If one small organ isn't working, the body is going to fail. And that is a very excellent analogy for how the church is. Maybe what you're really good at is encouraging people outside of this worship service. You're really excellent at seeing people who are feeling down or writing them cards, and that is a spiritual service. And that is something that this body is encouraged and strengthened by. Maybe you're really good at working out bugs in our AV system, which we've been having trouble with, but that may seem small, it may seem irrelevant to you, but that is, in a way, how we perform our function and our duties as a Christian body. Mr. Guerin recently mentioned needing people to clean at the building, to upkeep the grounds, things that some of us might think are beneath us or that we're not required to do, but are so incredibly important to this work here, because we each have a function, no matter how small it may seem, and each one of us is important in our own way. Like it said in verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Every single one of us is important in this body. But if every single one of us isn't trying our utmost to fulfill our function, to fulfill our duty, well, then we're not showing our gratitude for this body, and ultimately we can be hindering it. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, oh, I just read that. Never mind, don't go back there. So we show how grateful we are for our spiritual family by being a part of our spiritual family. If you come to church and you just kind of sit in the back, you don't talk to anybody, and you might be a part of South Loop, but if you don't engage in the worship, you don't engage with anyone else, you might as well not be a part of the family, because you're not a part of the family. We are a family of believers, and a family of believers doesn't isolate themselves from one another. They don't ignore each other. They strengthen each other. They forgive each other. And they work together to convert souls to Christ and help each other get to heaven. Well, maybe tonight you aren't baptized. Maybe you have yet to experience the true blessings of forgiveness and of this spiritual family. And if that's the case, then that is something you are in dire need of. Or maybe you are baptized, you have been a Christian, but maybe you haven't been participating in this body. Maybe you haven't been grateful for the forgiveness and the blessings you've been given, and you've been sinning by just living a life that is not fitting for a Christian. And if either of those are the case, we would be happy to help you. As you come forward, we stand and we'll always sing.
530, I am not ashamed to own my Lord.
Your soul.